Hey, why am I his sidekick, all right? How do you know he's not my sidekick?
Welcome to Fireside. First off, welcome to Fireside. When we talking comic books the entire time. Ain't going nowhere, so dry your eyes. Already lasted longer than Firefly.
Stay tuned, Mitch's got the creepiest news.
From books to TV, even movie reviews.
Plus the next toy, baby, here we get you.
Even the superhero fight club will we usually lose.
Just popping those earbuds, turn up those speakers.
Feel Mama's power, earth you with features.
And either listen by weekly or you can binge us.
We got it all, baby.
Are there ninjas?
So relax and lie back as we start another issue of Fireside Chats. Comic facts and wise cracks. Welcome to the show. This is Fireside Chats.
Welcome to another issue of Fireside Chats. I'm your host, Menti, and with me as always are my wonderful sidekicks. First, Mashko.
Can I kick it?
Yes. And then there's Features.
Hello, Internet.
Hi.
Suck and then there's Rooster.
Matt. What?
Wow. Sorry, beep you.
What?
What? What and why?
Grumble. It's Wednesday. What we talking about, bitches?
Wow, he's not even.
Not even wasting any
shit
time.
To talk about.
Like what?
No. Yeah, right.
we're going to play that game. Did Maurer like or hate the newest thing to come out? This week's episode, Werewolf by Night. Also going to talk some McFarlane shit because, well.
You have to.
Yeah.
You kind of set yourself up from that last week.
Yeah, we have to see what it is.
Beeping Todd Father, real
and not real. Beeping Todd Father.
All right. Well, Features, what do you got?
A few Marvel announcements from New York Comic Con.
Who cares?
People care.
That's going on.
I like Maurer's ego is just because he now has segments dedicated to him. He's like, the only thing that matters is whether I enjoyed the show. Now get rid of all of
it's damn straight.
These little scummy topics.
Who cares about you?
All right, Mashko, what do you want to talk about?
Oh, we've got a lot of different things. What Maurer said, we've got some, She-Hulk recaps. We have, there's a bunch of Hollywood news. There's some rumored castings happening, so I'll dig into some of that.
He's going to be our Gal Gossip.
Or Mashko's rumor something or other.
Don't do rumor roundup. It's been taken. I want to talk about Hellraiser.
Okay. That's weird.
I want to talk. Why is that weird?
You and Hellraiser just don't seem like two things that go together.
Why?
Last week, you just said I watched all sorts of crazy stuff, and you brought up the craziest horror movie
ever
made. You
watched the crazy ones.
And you think Hellraiser's outside of my realm?
But if you remember the point I was making, you watch all the crazy shit and nothing that you should watch.
I watch them all, baby.
Did you see Phantasm?
No, don't. Yes, actually, both of them. Well, I think there's more than two, but I've seen two of them.
Okay. What was it last week that you didn't watch, but you saw?
It was the Top Gun again?
No, I think it was a horror movie.
That's every week. You still didn't watch it, though?
He's a bastard.
I still didn't watch it. There's just so many other things. Like, every time I sit down, I keep saying, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go back to back.
None of them are as good.
That's not the point. If I let it go too long, I have to, it's like whole days worth of Lord of the Rings, She-Hulk, Werewolf by, like, just this week alone, think about all of the things that came out that needed to be watched, plus the other things that I watched that we don't even talk about on the show.
Are you keeping up with the Targaryens?
The Targaryens, that's a great way to, that is a good way to call that. That's the best name for that show I've heard, keeping up with the Targaryens.
Or shit that happens off screen.
No. Oh.
That's a good one.
This past week wasn't bad, but we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah,
I want to talk 2 seconds on the Super Mario trailer.
Why?
Just because I'm interested on what your thoughts are. Because I'm torn, but I kind of love it.
It looks, visually, it looks great.
Looks good.
I think Chris Pratt's going to be the only
issue. For me, he's the one thing I think he'll be fine.
Really? Because then what are you worried about? Because everything
Black.
Else,
who I feel is
he sounds amazing.
I feel he's a terrible actor.
What?
Not for a role like Bowser. He's perfect for that because Jack Black plays Jack Black stuff.
But it's just going to sound like Jack Black being Jack Black to me.
I don't think it sounded a lot like Jack Black. Like, he didn't sound like Poe. You know, he sounded, he had a much raspier voice. I'm sure that's all Poe stuff, but he sounded great.
I don't know what Poe is, but okay.
Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
And he's great in that, by the way.
You never seen Kung Fu Panda? Oh, okay. All right.
No. No.
Kung Fu Panda's amazing.
Shallow Hal.
He was good in...
Shallow Hal.
Say anything.
Waterworld.
Waterworld. What's the movie with Will Smith where he was the guy in the van?
What?
Will Smith.
He was the guy in the van.
Yeah, Will Smith got accidentally had that drive.
Oh, Enemy of the State?
Enemy of the State. Yeah.
That's good. I forgot he was in
guy in the van. So.
Yeah, and then he's a bully in what, Airborne?
Yeah. Like, his bit parts he's good at. Wasn't he
Jumanji?
In Tornado too?
School of Rock.
I love School of Rock. I think School
Nacho
of Rock
Libre.
Is an outstanding movie. And I don't like Nacho Libre. That got a little too far. I think once he's too involved. No, that's not true. I really like Tenacious D as well.
High Fidelity.
Tenacious D and High Fidelity, I appreciate him in.
Oh, High Fidelity.
Because
I love High Fidelity talking
music is the serious side of Jack Black that you get that he just puts a little humor to. You know, that's the Jack Black I'd love to see in a movie. I want his version of Robin Williams' Good Will Hunting.
Ooh, yeah,
like
I would take
him
that.
Doing something about music
or Uncut Gems performance from him. Yeah,
but
I think
it would be talking about doing a music project that's not silly like the School of Rock thing, but like a serious film on that. I think he'd nail it. But anyway,
yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. But the visuals, I think, were great. The humor was there. And I honestly always thought it was impossible to make a good Super Mario Brothers movie because the premise is just so out there.
Well, I don't get the complaints. If they did a stereotypical Italian accent, the world would implode and cancel whoever did it.
Which is a shame because that's how he sounds. Like, still, to this day, that's how he sounds.
There was an article today. I guess Tara Strong made a comment about this. Huey's probably saw it. Something about the guy who actually voiced Mario for, like, the last 20 years mm-hmm. wasn't even asked to do it.
He would have killed that role.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of
but at the same
built
time,
the character.
But doesn't Charlie he as Day a character is- just go... Yee, woo-doo, it's me. Like,
no, I guess, like, wasn't there an old cartoon and everything? I believe it's the same
there
guy.
Was. And they had the rap intro.
Yeah.
I'll put that in the show
Captain
post.
Captain Lou Albano.
That was the greatest intro in the world.
Swing
something with the brothers. Get down with the brothers. Some of that.
Yeah, I remember that now.
And then they had the Legend of Zelda every other like week. They had the Legend of Zelda cartoon.
Yeah.
Excuse me, princess.
That whole block when they had like the Castlevania and what was the Nintendo
Captain
kid
N.
one?
Captain.
And they had that. And that was. I mean, they still do it now, but I feel like the heyday of terrible cereal because they had the
Whoa,
split box
terrible cereal
of
that was amazing cereal.
The split box had half good cereal. So there was Mario that was like a fruity one, and then there was Legends of Zelda, which was like a cornflakes kind of one with like marshmallows in it. One of those were good. So half that box.
Which one
sucked.
Did you like?
I liked the Legend of Zelda one. I like Lucky Charms.
See, I don't like marshmallow cereal.
Yeah, well, you might like. Do you like Trix?
I don't think I've ever
Shit's
had Trix.
Shit's for kids, man.
Isn't Trix just round versions of Fruit Loops?
No, they taste different. I mean, they taste different. They're not identical in flavor, but the concept's the same. I love that we're going deep diving on breakfast
Kix.
Cereal. No one can hear you, baby Huey. Stay off
Kix,
the microphone.
Corn Pops, Frosted Mini Wheats, regular Mini Wheats.
I'm going to yell at baby Huey throughout this whole show, just so you all know he's
baby
here.
Baby Huey, put on he some just, clothes.
He just can't talk.
All right. So yeah.
Or just everyone take screenshots.
Oh, <geez. laughs>
Blackmail only comes around so often.
Features, what did you think of the trailer?
I thought it was cool. I don't recall hearing their voices. It looked like a brand new Mario game, but not a game.
He has it. And
wow.
It's in the game.
Profound features.
Listen to our features' very deep comments and go into. He has an accent. Chris
yeah,
is doing
it's
an accent.
Really, it's real subtle.
And
here's the thing. Charlie Day as Luigi is going to be great. I cannot wait to hear what he sounds like as Luigi.
The uptight, scared Luigi.
Yeah, but as Charlie Day, it's going to be like every time Charlie Day is a guest on something, he's usually the like the Lego movie when he's the 80s astronaut who just wants to build spaceships. that's prime Charlie Day right there. And that, I mean, that's all you're going to get from Luigi.
So we'll see. I have a feeling it's going to be as good as a Super Mario Brothers movie can be.
Yes. Maybe, and that's good because that keeps our expectations low. So maybe it really kind of, you know, knocks it out of the park just by being slightly better than Kung Fu Panda.
I don't think it's going to be Sonic.
I think Sonic's a low bar. I think Sonic's good for what Sonic became because what Sonic was about to be was so much worse. But it's not like I think the cartoon for Sonic is still better than the movie is.
I don't know. It's got that Jim Carrey rub, so.
Yeah, Sonic was half and half, though. Like, it was, you know, the CGI in the real world. We're just talking Mario is full
on
CGI.
And to be fair, that's what I want. I don't really care about your relationship problems, human characters of Sonic. I don't care about any of that. Just stay with Sonic.
I thought for the entire time that this Mario movie was going to be live action, and then to find out
it was
animated,
it was live action,
I was like, what? Yeah.
I'm kind of glad it isn't, though.
Did you guys see the AI art, since we're on the topic, that they released of Tom Holland as Legend of Zelda, Idris Elba as Ganondorf, and who was it? Was the chick from Harry Potter as Zelda. And it looks so good that I hope that somebody has taken that AI art seriously.
Isn't Ganon...
Someone just wrote Tom Holland.
Isn't Ganon like a giant monster?
No, he's a person. He becomes a monster in the game, but he gets the Triforce, but he's a person. He's got like the red beard and stuff.
All right.
It looks outstanding. I'll put in the show post as well. Yeah. But I hate that digital art stuff, but if it creates that show, I'm into it.
All right, let's move on. What's next?
I could keep going. You want to talk about Hellraiser? We still want to stay on my topic?
Let's do Hellraiser, and then I really want to hear about the werewolves at night.
Well, let's do Werewolves by Night, and then we'll go into Hellraiser, because that's people are way more intrigued on hearing what Maurer's thoughts of by Night are more
excited
than we talking about cereal.
All right, Werewolf by Night. Let's get your bets in. Menti, thumbs up or thumbs down? What did I give it?
Thumbs up.
Features, thumbs up, thumbs down. What did I give it?
I'm actually going to go with a thumbs up.
Mashka, thumbs up, thumbs down. What did I give it?
I think you are going to gush all over this show.
Baby Huey, thumbs up. Okay. I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
Yay! We're never right. I was getting nervous because everyone said thumbs up. I'm like, damn it, he's going to say thumbs down. It's too much.
So I'm going to talk about what I like, and then... Again, I do feel it has one piece of the Moon Knight syndrome, where I'm going to give you a change that could have been made to it that would just have gone and take it from really good to freaking amazing. Okay. So I loved everything they did with it being black and white and kind of being like an old Hammer horror film. It allowed them to show much more violence and blood because it's black and white, so they don't get hit by the ratings as much. I don't know. Did you guys know who the director was going into it?
Yes.
No.
So it's
a local guy.
Well, it's Michael Giacchino, who is the composer for all the Pixar movies. He was the composer for the Batman. That makes sense as his first major directorial debut, because those movies back in the day were all based on the score and setting up the atmosphere more than the actors and dialogue in them. Because dialogue was very, very sparse, because it was hard to get dialogue because of how noisy it was. It wasn't like today where they could go overdub. So when they were doing things in areas, like, there wasn't much dialogue. So the score, to me, melded with the direction and the movement of the movie. Are we calling it a movie? TV special?
Special.
What? Special.
Online special. Sounds weird.
Just say special.
Like, it really did meld together great. It had a good structure to the themes that you would hear kind of creeping in as different characters were on. And overall, the story wasn't doing too much, wasn't doing too little. It just kind of plotted itself along as a good Halloween special.
Yes. It did not get bogged down with explanations. It just it, the pacing and the excitement of the actual maze. Spoiler alert, by the way, for everybody. Spoiler alert from this point moving forward. But once they actually got to the maze, I would have appreciated some backstory about from some of the other characters. Mm-hmm. But I kind of love that they didn't for yep. time, because that would have messed with the pacing.
Yeah, but
so
it would
much.
Have rushed everything. Now, man thing in it was perfect.
Yeah, he was cool.
Yeah.
Them showing his powers and the little line that if you're a fan of Man-Thing, you get when Jack was like, hey, when you see him, make it like you're seeing an old friend. Because Man-Thing can't control his reaction to fear. Him being around fear is what enrages him and what causes his touch to burn you with, sometimes it's acid, sometimes it's a type of fire, but like the disintegration that you saw was because they were afraid of him. So Elsa being like, oh, hey, you know, really was a good subtle touch to that character.
Do you think they're going to use the fact that they pulled him from the Nexus door to explain other characters coming to the MCU?
So here is the deal. And overall, I liked everything. I loved the ending.
Can you explain? I feel like I have to explain what I just said, or are you gonna explain what I just said in your answer? Because I feel like that was probably not the best way to word that.
Basically, he is in the comics. You know how we have fixed points in time? He is at the mm-hmm. center mm-hmm. of all of that. Is that the easiest way to explain it?
A doorway to all yeah. other realities, the nexus of all realities. He is the one who protects the. I guess the sanctity of the door.
Yeah.
Right. You can't come through the door without passing through Man-Thing first. And if you try, he'll burn you to yeah. death.
So here's where the upsetting part of the MCU fandom and just the MCU comes into it. Michael, the director, and Feige and all of Marvel, and he released this, said, we had a really long discussion how we didn't want this film to be any point in time in the timeline. We didn't want to tie it to anything because that allows us to do anything with it if we go back to it. We just want it to be, it could occur pretty much anywhere.
I would like to believe it happened way before they say it does.
The fans same. Had such a wry reaction to this, of they had to know
continuity.
Exactly where this took place, that Marvel backtracked on their agreement with Michael Giacchino, which I'm butchering his name, and then
I
gave
think you're
it.
Nailing it.
Gave him a point in time that this took place in. So that, like, as fans, we need to just let certain things lie. Because in them forcing it to be at a certain time takes away some other cool things they could have done outside of the timeline to just throw some new characters in there.
And for the record, it is taking place during this current time when She-Hulk is happening and...
Yeah, it's right after Thor.
Yeah, see, I hate that. I thought this took place well before, but I guess it really can't. With
yeah, I didn't hear anything about the fan. You obviously read different things than I read. I didn't see any of that. I just saw like an article saying, hey, this is when it falls in line.
Well, if you read the articles before that where they made a decision to purposely not do that, and then you see mm-hmm. a whole bunch of fans online complaining, where does this fit in and arguing over it? You then see Master Fahey go, well, it has to be this.
Master Fahey.
All right.
Master Fahey.
I'm going to paint a word picture for you now, if you may.
No.
Now imagine if instead of Elsa, that was Moon Knight there. And this is your introduction to Moon Knight. You get no backstory on him. He ends up realizing, oh, wait, we're not fighting a monster. This is, and helps as everything's the same exact thing. And at the end, he has to kind of subdue Werewolf by Night, but still has a partnership, but you still get that fight scene with them. That would almost match up pretty close to his initial Werewolf by Night introduction, how the society sent him to hunt the Werewolf by Night.
You don't think that could be season two of Moon Knight?
No, because we've already played out that kind of, if is he a bad guy, is he a good guy?
Who?
Werewolf by Night.
Werewolf? Except for he's a good guy when he's in his human form. But remember, he started sniffing the house. He was, oh, I was going to make a Biden joke. He was sniffing.
you then the buzz you could have created around the character from him just appearing in that and then being like, who the hell is that guy? Showing all the fight scenes, you could have shown him being really violent because it was black and white. And the visual effects of Moon Knight in a black and white special would have been phenomenal.
Didn't you say that the more current run of Moon Knight has him protecting vampires because they're the travelers of the night?
Certain vampires, because they don't do vampires that don't do any harm.
What about Jack Russell?
He could do that, but we don't have a Moon Knight in the MCU that is the same.
Right, but they could use this as a way to go towards, because I don't know how true this is, because this is all rumor and conjecture, and this happened behind closed doors. How the hell do you know? But apparently, all of the Phase 4 criticism is actually getting to Feige. And part of the goal moving outside of this phase is to rectify a lot of the fan aggravations, because he doesn't want to lose the core base.
You mean make things more like comics?
He wants to branch out. I guess he wants to branch out. Well, I'm sure he's still going to push that envelope as much as he can, because he still wants to pull in newer audiences. But he at the same time doesn't want to lose the fan base that he cultivated for 10 years. So there's rumor that he is actively trying to go through and fix future aspects of projects to more coincide with what fans thought they should be in the first place. I don't know how I feel about that, but at the same time, I don't know. I'm kind of torn on, again, the fans dictating the studio.
Yeah, I just, for this, again, to have, we come to a decision, a fork in the road. If we choose left, it's accurate to the comics and pretty much the same story you want to tell. Or we choose right and it's not, for no other reason other than either we didn't know that the left path was accurate, or we wanted to get, in this case, a female character as the star.
Well, and there's a strong possibility that this is all was in the works too much for him to go through and make any adjustments, which is why he's more moving towards the next phase, and why he wanted to cut off Phase 4 so much. I mean, it was amazing to hear him say, all right, Phase 4 is done. And you're like, what the hell? We're going on to Phase 5. As soon as this next movie comes out, we're out. Game's over on Phase 4. And I think there's probably a reason to that. So I think I wouldn't be surprised, to find out that his Star Wars trilogy or even singular movie got pushed back because he's like, you know what? There's too much happening at Marvel with no one really steering the ship. I need to move back.
Right. And it just seemed that was too close to being the committee, which in the comics, the committee are the villains that send Moon Knight and give him the gear to go fight Werewolf by Night in his original appearance, to not just play with that a little bit more.
I really don't think that I don't think they wanted to answer anything. I just wanted them to, I think they wanted to show you that the occult is out there and very strong. I think that they spent so much time on re-showing us the trophies on the wall.
Right. And
I feel like the only purpose of that is to hammer home that these things have always existed.
But they didn't have to do anything other than replace Elsa with Moon Knight.
Sure, but I think they want Elsa in there for a Midnight Suns team.
And Moon Knight couldn't have done that as well?
No, but they still want Elsa. I mean, he could have, sure.
That's
but
what
they
I'm
still
you
want
literally
Elsa.
Could have even given him almost the same exact lines that she said throughout the show.
Again, I don't disagree with you. I see if I were in this boat, if I were in this shoes of no, there is no season two for Moon Knight, and you're Kevin Feige and you hear what's happening and people are like, oh, I can't wait for a Midnight Suns. He's like, oh, damn, we're going to make a Midnight Suns. He's figuring out where to introduce characters and already had Moon Knight in the works for a while.
Right.
You know what I mean? So now he's got, all right, well, season two, Jack Russell, we'll move him in there. We can tone down Moon Knight's supernatural abilities, make him more aligned with the comics, and boom, you're now happier.
Yeah, the whole premise of this seems weird to have Werewolf by Night. The only reason why they looked at that is because of Moon Knight. Like, nobody looked at Werewolf by Night other than it's Moon Knight's origin.
although this whole season, this whole phase, man, is putting a lot of emphasis on characters I'm just flabbergasted are getting the kind of attention they are.
Well, it seems like it's Midnight Suns is there where their starting point was.
Like, She-Hulk is a prime example of just throwing the most obscure, well, not obscure, some of them are actually very important, but we'll never see a true incarnation of them, of, like, Porcupine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, some of the most bizarre characters are being used as, they have long-standing histories, but they're just being used because they know they'll never make a legitimate appearance in the MCU, because there's thousands and thousands and thousands of Marvel characters.
But yeah, and the last thing, it's weird that they combined Jake and Jack into one character.
How so?
Because it's Jack Russell, and it seemed to have the Jack Russell background, but then having him with the tribal painter tattoos and being a Hispanic guy like Jake is.
Just because we know even just in this group alone, Jack Russell is not a known character, nor is Werewolf by Night. Can you explain what you mean by merging those two characters?
So
I need the info on Jake. That's what I need.
So Jake is the Native American version of Werewolf by Night, written by Taboo from the Black Eyed Peas.
Okay. So yeah, I remember.
Modern run, a really, really good run. And when they were putting the casting out there, it really felt like they were going for the modern on it. When it was Jack, I was like, maybe this, and that's where my brain was like, ooh, this could be 100 years ago, or this, they could really play around with like the classics of Dracula, until it got ruined 2 days later by going, it's this time period. But Jack, you know, paid tribute to his ancestors in one way, and then you have Jake, who was kind of doing it in a different way. It just felt like they were leaning more towards that tribalism of the Jake character when they showed the paint on his face than what you would expect from a Jack Russell character.
I mean, I kind of get that, though. I mean, it's a more recent book that has a celebrity behind penning it. You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't you want to push that version of the story more?
But they took nothing other than having a person of color in the character and making it a little bit more, like, it's a totally different Werewolf by Night.
Does it change the lineage of how the werewolf, how he's affected by the, so that's what I mean. That's why they would probably go with, they'll take the known stories. Cause I mean, what is the MCU, if not the Marvel universe, popular culture and social, I don't know, preferences and the ultimate universe of Marvel.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's a merge of all those different things. So that makes sense to me because it checks all of the boxes. It's still core to who the character was in the original comics. It does placate to those that want to see that social representation, as well as it has a story that they can push people to with a celebrity already backing it.
The difference, I mean, it seems like a win-win. And I thought they were going to have him portray Native American Hopi. Like, that was the big thing for Taboo, was having a Native American character written based on the skinwalkers and that kind of.
Well, we can get that in Moon Knight season 2. Like, there's no explanation to anything in this show. And I kind of like that, because that can now, if all of a sudden the desire to see more of Jack Russell becomes something that, and I guarantee you they're watching Twitter and everything right now to see how many people are actually talking about it. If all of a sudden it's getting a good reception, which I believe it is, there's no way you don't see him show up in other properties. He's going to be a character that they can build a new fan base around. Like, they can turn him into a multi-million dollar character who never, ever, ever, ever was, either in iteration.
Well, werewolves are always popular. This character can be huge. This could be your lead into the Midnight Suns and have him almost be the Nick Fury of the Midnight Suns.
Well, I mean, if you think of the Midnight Suns as the occult, as the occult Avengers, essentially, who do you have right now? You got Man-Thing. You've got Blade. You've got Moon Knight. You've got
Morbius.
Elsa Bloodstone. Maybe Morbius. I don't know how that works. Like, I don't know how, if they're allowed to go back and forth like that. I think Marvel wants to leave the Sony stuff out as much as possible.
How about a buddy movie with Blade and Morbius? How about that?
Nah.
No.
Wow. Not the reaction I was expecting. Okay.
No.
But
I don't want more. I don't think I want more Morbius.
We should be having Punisher come soon and Ghost Rider.
Punisher. Punisher would be a great one to add to Midnight Suns because I love Batman in any of the occult stories because he doesn't believe it, but he still fights it. And you could get that same kind of dynamic from, like, will bullets take care of it? Then I don't care about the backstory.
Yep. I don't care. When he did stuff with them. And his interactions with Ghost Rider were great.
Yeah, you could put Ghost on that team if after Thunderbolts. You know what I mean? Just because it keeps the occult theme and the ghost and the dark side of Marvel theme.
So, I mean...
They have enough characters they could do
that.
They
could, as long as they keep this tone and the mom tone. Like...
Is Jack Russell at the MCU Morbius?
Huh?
Huh? Mm-hmm.
So Morbius fills a role of a standard. I mean, it's not a standard, but the vampire.
Yeah,
kind
I think
of
Jack Russell will
hero.
Take the.
Jack Russell pulls that off with werewolves.
Yep.
Like, who's the zombie character? The good guy zombie that, you know, he's
zombie.
Isn't his name zombie?
His name zombie.
Yeah, his name zombie. I don't think you'll ever see him, but I think Jack Russell you'll now see all the time.
Yeah, and I think Jack Russell can, like I said, he can be the Nick Fury of pulling things together because he communicates with. Man-Thing or Ted.
What if it's Moon Knight? What if Moon Knight creates the Midnight? Moon Knight's Midnight Suns? Because isn't he leading the Midnight Suns now or something? Isn't he creating in the books currently? Isn't he making the new team?
But I don't.
Isn't he the leader?
I don't think you would have him be a leader in the MCU.
Well, maybe. Why not? So end of season two. Let's assume that it does happen and Jack Russell is the season two Moon Knight character. It ends with him realizing that this is a much bigger thing, that there is this occult side and that there is no one around to truly take care of it. So he's like, well, can we get more people? And then Werewolf by Night, Jack Russell's like, I know a guy, and they go get Ted. And then from Ted, they run into Elsa Bloodstone, and then you get Blade as the big reveal that he's involved. You know what I mean? Like, you can slowly build that team through Moon Knight. And then Moon Knight becomes that center focus character that we all hope he would be.
Yeah, because he's invincible and don't have to worry about ever dying.
Well, the decision to make him Spawn makes more sense when you think of him as a mummy occult character. You know what I mean? It's not
but
as
even
good as
mummies can
comic
be killed
Moon Knight,
pretty
don't get
easily.
Me wrong. Well, I mean, that depends on if you talk about the mummy. He became a sandstorm and ate people. You know what I mean? Like. Not every mummy is that easy. I mean, Tom Cruise would argue with you on that one.
But yeah,
what
I mean,
about
I could
the Scorpion
see
King.
The Rock would definitely have something to say.
I want to see it stay this tone, though.
Yes, yes, and I think it has potential if this does well.
If they can make Moon Knight in this tone, which is what we had hoped it would have been in the first place, Moon Knight can be redeemed, even being a superhuman, unkillable shell of himself.
Maybe you should go back and watch Moon Knight again just in black and white and see if there's a different change.
No, because everything happens off screen again. We saw more violence in Werewolf by Night than any combination of any Marvel property put together.
This was shot in color. Mm-hmm. They ran filters on the back end. He actually, when he was directing it, was watching it through a monitor that was in black and white, but everything was in color. So I'd be interested to see the color cut.
I love the detail they put into making it an old grainy horror film. They put the cigarette burn at the top.
Yeah.
If I had not seen Fight Club, I'd know nothing about, but every time it popped up, I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah, they had the dust on the...
They switched the reel.
No, they did a great job, even with some of the camera movements. Were similar to those old movies. When they were passing out, you know, doing it kind of the shooting to the first person, like they did a lot of things that they did in those old movies to create that sense of tension.
That animated shadow.
Yes, the animated shadow was amazing.
The animated shadow is the best. This is the best shot, I think.
Him transforming. I'm like, how are they going to pull this off? And I was like, wait, are they?
And they did a hand animated backdrop shadow. which is so like when you would see ghosts in movies and there would be the cartoon that would float in the background. You know what I mean? Those really old ones.
Yeah, when I saw them do that, I was like, this guy did his homework. And it did everything. If that was just a standalone, I didn't have to worry about anything else. That would have been freaking awesome.
And it paid off. It gives me hope.
Now, critics are ripping it a new one.
Really?
What? Yeah.
I haven't seen that at all.
Where at? What are they saying?
Ebert, the page he's on, like, there's a lot of critics saying it's not enough. It's both too short and too long at the same time.
What?
People saying that they're not really giving you a story, that you kind of get caught up in something, and by the time you're ready to see a plot unfold, it's over.
I don't see any of these things. I feel like just your negativity influences the bubble that the internet puts you in. Like the algorithm knows you're usually angry, so it just shows you shit to piss you off.
So go to Metacritic and just scroll
down.
Like
your Google searches must be real depressing compared to most people.
I got nothing but puppies and weightlifting in my feed.
You do have a lot of puppies.
off topic here. Did you see the frigging cats that I saw at Home Depot? Like, that was a legit thing. Check out my personal Instagram page, everybody. There were cats in Home Depot.
There's your plug.
My dog's cool, right, man. People that don't like animals, you gotta watch out.
Howard's opinion. Do we all give it a yay? Like, features, what did you think?
I thought World by Night was fantastic, honestly. I love the way it was shot. I like certain camera angles, even the close-ups during sudden moments. There were just a lot of things, a lot of recalls to like kind of classic black and white horror serials that were just like really cool to see in the modern time, but brought forth in this new kind of way, I guess, to explain it, if that makes any sense. But I thought it was dope.
You did. You liked what they set out to do. Like, you just summarized the goal.
So, going back, San Fran Chronicle, CNN gave it 75. Hollywood Reporter gave it a 70. RogerEbert.com, Brian Telerico, who honestly is pretty centered when it comes to superhero stuff, he gave it a 63. I was expecting him to give it more of a 90 because he's been pretty close to what I look at things. But then you have like Empire and a whole bunch of other ones just bashed this movie. If you go to,
I could see how people would say it's short just because I understand that. So you're about 40 minutes into it. And you're like, this is really good. And then it does wrap up pretty quickly. So there is kind of that empty feeling near the end where, you know, you probably could have used another 30 minutes of just enjoyable content. I think that's kind of where it was.
It's like, the story was done. Everybody's saying it's a fun premise. Everybody's saying, you know, those good things about it. The negativity comes when they're like, it feels like there could have been more and there wasn't.
I think everybody wanted to see Blade. I think they needed, I think people wanted that cameo.
I think they wanted it, but I don't think it needs it. I mean, the goal of this special, just like the goal of essentially every Disney Plus thing released, was to introduce an origin to at least two characters. That's it. That's all of these shows introduce at least two characters that will be more important in the MCU moving forward. So we got Jack Russell, and then through the whole thing, Elsa Bloodstone is gathering her weapons.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, they're setting Elsa Bloodstone up to be that next big monster.
She's the clear winner in the show.
She'll
like,
get
she's
the Bloodstone.
Gonna come out
she'll be able top. To turn people into monsters moving forward. She'll be the linchpin that allows the Midnight Suns to be able to work the way they need
Marvel's
to.
Own Buffy Summers.
I mean, essentially, yeah, hell yeah.
So it's funny, her creators were like, we never watched Buffy. And it's like, uh-huh, sure. But yeah, like,
people love her too. She's got a hell, she actually has a fan base.
She's a good character.
I never really.
Like,
you're more into the occult. Yeah. Like, I don't know her character well. I know her from video games.
Same.
Yep, me too.
Think of if you took Black Widow and Doctor Strange and put them together.
So she does magic?
Well, she,
I know she's got. I know she has like enhanced abilities.
She
but.
Uses magical objects.
Mm, so she's like a Constantine.
Like, well, that Constantine's better. Well, I was trying to stick with Marvel, but yeah, Constantine and
So she's Marvel's Constantine.
Constantine, only who can fight.
With who doesn't really use magic as much as just like the wrist stake launcher. I mean, essentially, we know that's killing vampires. The moment she picked that up, I was like, all right, well, in a future Blade project or something, this is going to be used to kill vampires on just. It's just going to mow them down. And I can't wait. It's going to be great. Like, I'm hoping we get the two shotguns over the shoulder Elsa Bloodstone. That's what I'm hoping.
No, and the overacting that people are complaining about in certain things, they need to realize was done on purpose.
What? Where are you hearing these things?
Yeah, that's part of the genre. That was part of the feel of
Here's
the actual
the thing
show.
I think what we need to stop doing is listening to what websites claim as fans... like seem to love it because they pull up like two or three tweets and then that's their whole premise of the article. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. And when you talk about how large of a fan base we're talking about, if 10% have an issue with it, that's a lot of articles written. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't like for here. I think the best example of how stupid the clickbaity titles have become is Margot Robbie. Margot Robbie breaks silence on being replaced as Harley Quinn. Break silence? You mean somebody asked her a question?
Right.
What do you mean break silence? Was she saying, no, I can't talk about it. I'm too distraught. The hell are you talking about? And every article is that way. So I don't listen to the fans think this, fans think that. I think I'm going to listen to Maurer in the comment sections. I think that is a more accurate representation of what Marvel fans actually think than those articles.
That's what those titles get people to go into the comment section. That's where
I'm going to say go to RogerEbert.com. The guy, Brian Tellerico, he normally is pretty central, and none of his stuff quotes anybody else. It's just his own opinions on it. Like his big thing was there was not enough personality to the other hunters.
What?
Wait, that's right. They weren't developed well.
No,
one
but they
dude
had...
talked, and the rest of them were just quiet the whole time.
So
okay, all right, that's fair. That's
they
fair.
Didn't do it, and he made a point. They didn't do enough physically to show a different personality, and since there wasn't enough dialogue given to them to show a different personality, it just seemed like a bunch of generic people. Which I'll give him. It would have been.
You know what could have? You know how you fix that problem? When she was talking about how many confirmed kills they had,
they told a quick story.
Give me a quick montage.
Yep.
No, that doesn't have to be that. Just show me that person killing vampires, werewolves, just the other stuff in Marvel. You know what I mean?
That would have been perfect.
And I would have gone, oh, well, damn.
Oh, wow, that one's a brute force guy, which is the guy we got.
Because by the way, was it the wind? Maybe I was wrong, but did not one of those things on the wall look like the Wendigo?
It did look like a Wendigo.
Yeah, it did look like Wendigo.
I mean, taking out the Wendigo is no small feat. That's a Hulk villain. Like, you know, like, that's not. Somebody,
well, no, no,
somebody
I don't
was
think
able
it's
to.
The Wendigo, the mutant.
The actual.
Not the same Wendigo that fought the Hulk.
Oh, okay. But you, so not the actual Wendigo character.
No, just a Wendigo.
Oh.
Well, yeah, because the Wendigo is more like a curse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We need to learn Wendigo to the next topic.
All right. Todd McFarlane. Big news. Are you ready?
Okay.
Finally folds and is going to let other people write his script.
What? Okay.
So Scott Silver, writer of Joker. And Malcolm Spellman, who is currently writing the next Winter Soldier, or not Winter Soldier, Captain America movie.
Yeah, the dude who wrote Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yep. Those are the two writers. Now, part of the reason of getting another writer is, to me, upsetting and also something to celebrate, is Todd McFarlane looked at it and he went, well, should I really be writing a character for... one of the few black superheroes that are out there, paraphrasing him, which is, you know, commendable that he went and Malcolm Spellman can be the voice of that. It just hurts a little bit like, man, it's his character and he had to second guess himself. He did it for the right reasons. He wasn't pressured to, but he did a really good job at writing that character and getting good feedback on it in the same way that Jonathan Mayberry got all the praise of him writing Black Panther.
Yeah, but even with, like, I guarantee you, just similar to Ryan Coogler, they already have the plot points laid out. They just have to fill in the gaps.
Yep.
I guarantee you the story of Spawn is done. He's just writing setting and dialogue. Yep.
The downside is both of those have big projects on their plates right now. Yes. So this movie is now at least 2 to 3 years out. I'm going to say closer to 5.
Well, I guess it really depends on how long it takes them to write and how much Tom McFarlane already has mapped out. I don't think it'll be that far. I think they can knock that script out because they're script writing. They're not, if they were writing prose, absolutely. But script writing is just, you know.
But doesn't Marvel keep the writers on open during filming?
Sure, but I think they could still write other things.
Okay.
Like they're only.
They could, honestly, they could write this in 30 days.
Yeah, right.
Like other, like.
Yeah, it isn't one of the.
When you're a professional doing that, it you could be.
And again, you're not writing prose. There's no descriptors. You're just saying exterior, this is the setting, this is the scenery. The art design team is up to that. They got to do that part. They're just writing, these are the things that are going to happen, which is probably already laid out. And then these are the things that are going to be said.
Yeah, when Jamie Foxx says, hey, I want to do this movie, I want to do it as quick as possible, let's get moving on this thing, people are going to listen.
And that's true.
I know you're not a huge fan of Jamie Foxx there, Maurer, but
his comment
superstar
on this was he's excited for the costume. He's like, Todd already has it designed, although he works so goddamn much, he keeps changing and adding and tweaking it every day, which when we interviewed him, he works nonstop, and you see videos of him freaking inking as his wife drives him to an appearance, like in the backseat inking, either on his tablet
in a moving vehicle.
I thought the idea was we weren't going to see Spawn much in this film.
Nope. And it's going to be Twitch and what's his name,
Sam
and Twitch. Yeah. So it should be amazing. We lost Hawkeye, I believe.
Oh, Jeremy. I think Jeremy Renner's still
is
in.
Is he still in?
I think he's still in.
Okay. I thought he was, when all the
I didn't know
all
he
the stuff
attached
that came out about him, I thought they stepped away from him.
I don't think so.
All right.
That was a while ago.
So, yeah, but that was his big breaking news. And we kind of knew this was coming because how long was his script, he said? It was like 180 or 190 pages or something.
Or it was 100 double-sided pages.
So he's not a script writer. Hollywood would not let this movie happen, and I think he realized doing it himself like he said he was going to do just wasn't feasible to make him happy.
Well, I mean, look, we're all excited to see it, and at the end of the day, it's going to be better than the last Spawn movie we got. So, and there's not much they need to do.
How dare you?
To be good.
I love that movie.
Sure, because of nostalgia, yeah. But like that movie does not hold up at all.
No,
it doesn't.
If you take John Leguizamo out of that movie, oh, trash.
Costume was cool.
Not necessarily trash.
Soundtrack was cool.
Except for all of a sudden, like he can shapeshift with his cape and weird stuff. Like just things that just did not feel right.
All right. New York Comic Con happened this weekend. No, yep. Nothing that I know of really cool stuff coming out of it. But
just all comic stuff. It's all comic-y things. I didn't see any big news from shows, which is weird. That's usually the show.
Well, and last year, that's where, or I guess it's been a couple years now, like they got to see Ghostbusters Afterlife there. Like it was a panel that they're like, oh, we're just going to show you the movie. So.
Well, what's going on with Marvel there, Feech?
Oh, Marvel has announced a few comics. Three, I think, that are probably the most interesting would be the All Out Avengers. And the big header too is that they're being led by Dr. Doom. But not only is it, what are you about to say?
Well, it's just, that's just, you know, Black Adam's running the Avenger, the Justice League, and Marvel's like, oh, well, dude, people are excited for Doom, right? Oh, well, he runs the Avengers, so there.
But then if you go back to when they had the bad guys in the other X-Men books recently, which was before.
Magneto when he ran the team.
Mm-hmm.
So who is the copy of who?
Well, that's the funny part. They're not saying that this Doom is a copy. It's just Dr. Doom. But not only is it him, he's also wielding Cap's shield and Mjolnir.
He wasn't talking about actually like a copy of Doctor Doom. He was talking about who DC or Marvel, who copied who with putting a villain in the, kind of like how Darkseid was running the Justice League. You see how they're copying each other back. Like, never mind.
Yeah.
Do we want to do it Earth 2?
You can. It's been a while. I'll take this one.
It's been about a year.
Yeah, let's go for it.
One and two.
Earth two.
That felt good. That felt cathartic in a little. Like, it felt good. It felt good. And it was needed.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
All right, so we got Doctor Doom running the Avengers. I saw that image. He's holding Cap's shield, and he has Mjolnir, which is weird.
Yeah, it is weird. And in the book, they're fighting a variant of Doctor Doom, who's calling himself the One True Doom.
So there's a copy.
So they copied dark. They copied true form Darkseid.
Yes. Or what? What? No. I don't know yet. There's not too much information given on who this One True Doom character is.
Darkseid.
Other than Doctor Doom.
Who? Who? All right,
but it should be really interesting though, because it could be implications of it being Doctor Doom.
Get to the sinister news
from Battleworld.
We don't know enough about this book for it to be interesting yet. And right now, it just seems like you need to do more than just put Mjolnir in someone's hands. The day and age of Mjolnir meaning anything is over.
Yeah, because Moon Knight stole that ship and beat the crap out of everybody.
That's true. That's true. Moon Knight probably was the final straw. It's made of moon rock.
Can you talk about Sinister already?
Oh, sure, Maurer. I was going to get to it, but sure, yeah. So there's The Sins of Sinister, which is another book that's been announced, which will be coming after the X storyline. So following Judgment Day, you're going to get The Sins of Sinister, which is also going to have a tie into the Fall of X, which was also announced. Cool. Which is pretty much signaling kind of the end of the Krakoan era for mutants. But all this time, what we know of Sinister right now is that he's been helping the X-Men and the Avengers as far as Judgment Day goes with bringing the Progenitor back to life. But he's also had his own plans under the cut, because why not?
Not willingly.
Right. It's Sinister. Well, we should expect something like this to happen.
Look, I hate this character.
Why?
I really do. I just do not like Mr. Sinister.
I love Mr. Sinister.
Because he's, as Features so lovingly puts it, he's X-Men's Kang. And I don't like Kang.
I feel like he's just like Kang. But, you know, with Sinister, I feel like there's a little bit more depth to Sinister than there is Kang. And his whole thing is he has a lust for knowledge and just wanted to take over. His domination, that's his whole thing.
And for some reason, the loins of both Scott Summers and Jean Grey really obsessed with their genitals. I'm not sure why, but super into them.
We have some cool DC news that came out of New York Comic Con, too.
Yes,
are we just going to skip Dark Web and the Summer of Symbiotes? Are we just skipping those?
Captain Marvel? Not available on the Dark Web.
I don't think so.
Maybe we are.
All right, what's the Summer of Symbiotes?
Summer of Symbiotes, I mean, I was leaving it to the, I read all of the news about New York Comic Con, but Summer of Symbiotes is a summer where they introduce a lot of new symbiote characters.
Come on.
It's really what it is. We're just getting
We don't know much else than they plan on introducing a whole new branch of symbiotes and change the way that symbiotes are. And they want to recapture that King in Black.
They're jumping the symbiote shark, if you will.
Maybe it's good. I think I'm glad Dylan's not Venom anymore. I'm glad that's over.
You now have Gray Venom.
Chain Venom. I'm glad that's done. But Dark Web looked dope. Dark Web looked really cool with the alternate version of the Avengers, like the good guy Goblin, the Green Goblin who's on
the Gold
weird,
Goblin. Yeah.
What's he called?
The Gold Goblin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks
like
there's
an
really
alternate
cool
version of all these characters that are coming over. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, and actually the Dark Web storyline is supposed to start in Amazing Spider-Man Volume 6, Issue 14.
Spider-Man X-Men crossover, right?
Yeah. Because the crux of the story is it's Ben Reilly being reborn as Chasm. Yeah, but he has no memory at all of his past life dying as Spider-Man and anything else. So he's kind of become partnered up with the Goblin Queen, who we know is.
It doesn't matter because, again, another. Ben Reilly is the Wally West of the Marvel Universe.
When's the last time Spider-Man's been good in the last few years?
Whoa, hey.
No, that's fair. That's a fair point, man. Remember when I was so disenchanted with Marvel? It comes from the fact that Spider-Man is just so all over the place.
And terrible. Like, it's
terrible.
They're not.
Well, who knows? Maybe this one's good.
The problem I feel with Spider-Man over the past, I'm going to say 5 to 7 years, is it feels like they're reinventing Spider-Man every 6 months.
Yes.
And throwing him into a new, this is who Spider-Man is. Nothing's established. And at the same time, alienating everything that makes Spider-Man, adult Spider-Man, at his core.
I can tell you whose fault that is.
Whose fault is it, Moshko?
Tom Holland.
Wow. Why is it Tom's fault?
I think it's the fact that they did really well with Spider-Gwen and they did really well with Miles. So they really want to capitalize on the Spider-Verse concept. Here's the problem again with Spider-Verse ruins Peter Parker. Spider-Man himself is ruined by that whole concept, him being the spider totem and the whole nine yards. Spider-Verse to me is one of the I think that's the beginning of the end of Spider-Man.
Well, and the fact that they feel, and that's what I'm going to segue when you're done into this into Superman, they feel because they have that connected family, that everything has to do with the connected family. Like, they don't want to really show Spider-Man just being Spider-Man, being your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man and around. Like, it's now everything is epic and large and super connected and these deep stories where showing Peter Parker struggling, whether it's as a teacher or as a student, as trying to get Mary Jane or maintaining a marriage to Mary Jane, that's the part that was cool.
Right.
And it feels like they've alienated that every turn.
Well, there was a time, like, the Dan Slott books weren't that bad. Spider Island wasn't bad. Big Time Spider-Man wasn't bad. I mean, they weren't the greatest Spider-Man books ever told, but they were better than a lot of the Spider-Man books that are happening. Like, remember Spider-Man wanted, he was an influencer online with the orange costume. That whole run was stupid as hell.
Yeah.
Where he had to, like, say certain catchphrases to make money while he was fighting. I hated all of that.
And now,
because of Spider-Verse, we have all of these other, they're trying to strike while the iron's hot and recreate that same Spider-Gwen lore. We have the abled Spider-Man, right? With the shooting webs out of what, canes?
But here's the thing.
I'm not kidding. I'm not making that up.
All of these weird things they're doing with Peter Parker, the fact that they're making a new spider person every other day, just do these weird ass storylines with the new spider person. And have Peter Parker be like, okay, these guys got all this other weird shit. I'm going to go back to my roots and be their friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Pull a Daredevil, if you will. And when everything gets too big for Daredevil, he goes back just to Hell's Kitchen and realizes when he gets so big that the little guy is being left out in the cold again.
Yeah.
There's my speech on that.
Yeah. No, I like that.
Yeah.
DC.
I like that.
That makes sense, Mark. Wow, Mauer.
Yeah, every now and then. It's when I'm grumpy, I have my best thoughts. DC, the only thing I really want to talk about is the Action Comics is doing something cool where each issue is going to be three different stories. So they're going to kind of use Action Comics to tell stories of the different characters in the little mini stories in there. Kind of like we used to get back in the day with those group comics that we have. So I'm a fan of that. Of being able to buy one comic and getting a little piece of a few different characters all related to the Superman family. But they're definitely doing Super Family. I mean, all new costumes were brought out. Most of them don't have capes other than Superman. They're taking the Bat family, if you will, and just applying that filter onto Superman at this point. And again, with the Spider-Man thing, it's just they need to recenter these characters. We need a rebirth to bring the characters back to their core. But speaking of things going back to their core. Moshka, you want to talk She-Hulk?
Sure.
Going back to its core. What was
yeah.
it? That was a weird.
I'm like.
Well, we went back to the core television shows and brought Daredevil back to TV.
That's a stretch.
Yeah, man.
That was.
I mean, you could have done something with him going to LA from Hell's Kitchen. You know, when he gets tired, he'll go on vacation or some shit like that.
Yeah, I totally didn't realize that she was in LA. Like, until he had to be like, I'm flying back to New York, I was like, wait, where does this even take place?
Is this San Francisco, right? I thought it was San Francisco?
West Coast, yeah.
West Coast, yeah.
But they never really established that in anything, so I didn't think of it.
I mean, it didn't look like New York.
By the way, the episode comes out tomorrow for everybody. Did you see the leaked trailer images for this week's episode?
No.
I mean, here, spoiler alert.
Kind of.
Do you guys not want me to spoil this for you?
Something about, well, it's the final episode.
So Banner's back. So he's coming back from Sakaar for the final episode, and he gets his rematch with Abomination.
Yeah.
So Abomination Hulk fight, I'm into. Yeah. And all the more reason he's going to end up on the Thunderbolts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All the more reason, now that we've seen him go bad again.
So what you're looking for is, what did we think of last week's episode? I mean, it was better than
it's the best
I would
episode.
Say the yeah,
it's the
I mean,
best the episode so far.
First episode wasn't terrible.
Yes, it was.
No, but this is so much better. Daredevil immediately made it better.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, what I would say is it wasn't like this past week's Andor episode, which was just like a filler Walking Dead episode.
See, I love this week's Andor. We'll get there. The anxiety I had at the end of that, I don't know. This episode was great. I loved everything except for two things. One, Daredevil doing the walk of shame.
You didn't like that? That was hilarious.
That was hysterical.
That was hilarious.
And that's straight out of a She-Hulk comic. That panel would be the most She-Hulk panel ever.
Yeah, but don't do that to my boy. One, I don't think he should be.
I don't think he had a problem with it. I don't think he was complaining.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. He can do a lot of the stunts that they did in CGI. We saw that in the previous Daredevil stuff, and it just looked so CGI in certain things with him doing things. I'm like, they don't need to, like, he has the costume. Just have him do that. He's been training to do that. He's done that on film before. That's my problem with Marvel in general right now, is I don't feel they even ask if they can do it in camera. They just jump there. Like when you have Christian Bale going, well, I didn't really act the way I normally would because I had no clue what was going on. I didn't know what stage was supposed to be. I didn't know my character. Like, they just rely so heavily on that CGI that it's back to Star Wars Episode 1, 2, and 3, I think.
Ooh. Ooh, wow.
Like,
I mean, maybe.
You lose the humanity of it.
It didn't really take me out because I kind of that show is known for bad CGI, so I don't even notice it anymore. I just bad CGI is going to be a thing.
Yeah, I think what Maurer's getting at is, like, I would almost bet on it that the Netflix show had a lower budget than this, but they look so much better. Like,
sure,
you know, the Daredevil.
It's a completely different team on a show that has no real action in it, and that show is all action.
But
also, the original Daredevil show is you have a very different stunt coordinator. You have a very different director, a very different vision. What's that?
Do they have a stunt coordinator? Were there even people?
No, they have a stunt
She-Hulk?
Animator.
They have a
probably
stunt.
Not on She-Hulk, no.
They have a stunt animator because all that shit was, all right, cut. We're going to CGI that. Don't worry.
The fight in like the, it wasn't an alley.
On top of
the
parking garage?
Well, it was that like hall. It was a hallway kind of. Yeah. Thing,
well,
they literally said
they wanted to try and capture. They wanted
you
to
like
think
shit.
So, but that, like, for example, the Daredevil show will follow the Daredevil Netflix show as much as humanly possible.
Will it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would they play the theme? She-Hulk real bad wanted you to think of this is Matt from the Netflix show you've seen before.
So everybody keeps taking that it's going to be a new start. As it's a reboot. So they said they want it to be a new start because they don't want to be weighed down by the storylines from previous.
Yes.
But you're still going to have as close to the feel as you can get with it.
What we know is that it's a different variant of Matt. that went through a very similar upbringing that this Matt, MCU Matt, went through.
The problem is in that hallway scene, the obnoxious CGI that didn't need to be there. They could have saved thousands of hours and dollars by having him just punch and kick two guys.
None of that bothered me.
But they had the CGI.
Not even a small little bit.
So, okay, so I missed that, but which...
Because you were watching the show and not hyper-focused on the frame-by-frame details of the CGI. It doesn't... If that takes you out of the story so much, you were never going to enjoy it in the first place. Because you're not lost. Like, okay, prime example. There are two type of people who watch the Blair Witch Project. Those that can get lost in the story and think that that ending is outstanding, and then those who can't. If you can't get lost in that story, that movie's horrible. Most people complain about it. But people who can get lost love that ending. If you get lost in the hyper details of the CGI, the story is not working on you.
Well, it's a bit.
And if the story's not working on you, you're going to dislike it no matter what.
Well, they could have increased some watchability. Because the story for She-Hulk's just bad in general. We're going to the season finale, and we might have part
for you. For other people, it's like the best show Marvel's ever done.
It's a solid show.
What's the whole plot of the show?
We will find out tomorrow on the next She-Hulk.
Yeah, no, it's cameo of the week.
There is no plot in the show.
To be fair, and you know what they should have done with Matt? Matt should have been a recurring character the whole
thing. Should have just been a case of her versus Matt.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been great.
They promised a courtroom comedy. We've seen Night Court. We've seen Franklin and Bash. We know it can happen and be good.
Franklin and Bash. Pulling out that one. Wow.
But instead...
Night Court, though. That was Judge Reinhold.
We get Seinfeld with bad She-Hulk puns about her boning people.
I feel like you've never read a She-Hulk book.
I feel like you never watched a Seinfeld episode.
Because the show's about nothing.
Fair.
Yeah, the problem is, and this is the problem that everybody has, this show is not designed for us, otherwise there'd be action like this in every episode. What they want, and the whole reason Daredevil's in it, is the new fan base that was formed by She-Hulk to then shift over to Daredevil because they really want those two to have a relationship. Like, that's a whole new thing now, that this area of the MCU, which you don't seem to think is real, is all they're talking about is the potential relationship between Matt Murdock, because that's all they care about. Matt Murdock.
Yeah, we'll wait until Elektra gets involved if they cast who they are saying they're going to cast.
Is it a smoke show?
No, but that's my point. That my point is
Isa Gonzalez.
This show is never going to be for us. The show is never. If you went into it expecting that you were going to get the show, you were going to get a Hulk TV show. You don't know She-Hulk, and you don't get who the target audience is. Because Werewolf by Night is not for the every audience member. It is for a very specific type of viewer, which is what the comics are. They are designed for those who are into different types of genres. Not every story is going to resonate with you.
It's just not the story they told us they were giving us.
What did they tell
us? It's not far off.
You see courtroom cases in this weekly?
There's been a couple. There's been a few. There's been like maybe two episodes where there weren't. So, yeah.
Where they're in the courtroom.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe two episodes where they're not.
Okay,
I would say like the bulk of it is concentrating on her as a lawyer.
Yeah,
with the exception of the retreat episode.
And the retreat episode, I thought was dope.
Based on her being a lawyer.
Yeah, I mean, it's
the only reason she was there. Her being a lawyer and not being seen as anything besides She-Hulk, and her then accepting She-Hulk is the comic. I mean, it is. That's what the comic is.
But she accepts
Bang
herself.
You just
don't know or like She-Hulk that, and that's fine.
I read She-Hulk for years in the comic.
Did you?
Yeah. The comic was much more sexist than the show is, though. And I think...
Well, you can't do that anymore.
You can't do a completely sexist She-Hulk show.
But at the same time, the book knew it was sexist and made a joke about it.
And it did. But they aren't making those kind of jokes. And she was
okay. They can't.
You don't think they can?
No!
No!
They can't have her jump rope naked?
Especially not on Disney Plus. No.
No.
You don't think they can make fun of that?
They don't have the animators to do it.
Something would
suck. Her twerking was the closest thing you were going to get to her jumping rope naked on a cover.
No, I guess
they did it in black and white. She-Hulk hated it.
Yeah.
So nah, it's not that's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen, and that's okay. It's not for us. There's gonna be other shows that aren't for us. Like Ms. Marvel, not the best show to me. I could see why people like it. I'm not a big fan. Captain Marvel, I could see why people like it. Not a big fan. It's not for me. Yep. I get that.
Well, here's the thing though. Every once in a while, especially around the holidays, I'll sit down and I'll watch a Lifetime movie or two.
What?
You know?
Who are
they? Not for me. They're not for me. But they are sometimes good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's sometimes blasphemous.
Yeah. This show isn't for me, and it's not that good.
Lifetime movie chick flick watching captain of the world.
Moshko, first off, how many Lifetime movies would work that way? How many?
Every single one where the executive woman in her mid-30s goes back to the small town for the holidays. Falls in love with some dude, and leaves her job, and works in a...
And you know
that they're mostly trash.
Candace
mostly trash. You might find one that you're, for some reason, more intrigued. You're like, all right, don't turn it off. I want to know what happens. But for the most part, it's trash because it's not for you. Every Lifetime movie I've ever seen is garbage, and I don't want to ever watch it again. But that doesn't mean that the audience who likes it is wrong.
No, I guess when they announced it and we saw that Netflix was coming in, picturing her send Jessica Jones out as an investigative, you know, PI for her, going against Daredevil, like having more courtroom-based comedy.
Instead of Flavor of the Week,
yeah,
which is what it is. It's a Flavor of the Week show.
Because even the court cases, quote-unquote, are like throwaway 30-second parts of the thing. It's not the aspect they're focusing on.
But to be fair, this show is not about any of that. This show is about getting Daredevil... This show is about setting up Hulk. He was in the first couple episodes, left, and he came back already. So that means he's back from Sakaar already. So his time there is how he'll have a kid, right? So that's set up a future story.
He could have been there for 10 years, though.
So much of this show is just getting other people on the map. Titania apparently is going to play a role in Thunderbolts.
Oh, boy.
Well, whether you like it or not, it doesn't change anything.
Know who I like on the show?
Because there is an audience.
Wait, you know those articles we were talking about where mm-hmm. fans say this and fans say that? Well, these two fans are saying what you're not saying.
But neither of you are fans of She-Hulk, and that's fine.
She-Hulk during Civil War.
You aren't the fans. Maurer, you might have been fan of early She-Hulk, but you're not a fan of She-Hulk books.
Was Civil War, and that was a good book.
And that's, I guarantee you, the only She-Hulk book you've read for a modern She-Hulk.
Probably.
I guarantee you. And you know why I didn't? Because they're not for me.
But
they're not for me.
The only character that's enjoyable on the show is her assistant.
That's true.
She's not the only character on the show.
I like everybody.
No, her and the other lawyer. I forget what her name is. The one who defended.
Oh, yeah. She was good, too.
They're great.
And I could watch a whole show of Abomination, Tim Roth, minus his weird retreat crap.
This show is, again, just it was for the punchline and the laugh, and now it's going to end with him being bad again, and boom. This whole show is going to be wrapped up in the beginning and end will mean nothing. The show will mean nothing to the actual MCU timeline. It's just to introduce some things and get the ball rolling. Because I guarantee you, Abomination is not going to be a nice guy at the end of this.
And that's,
he'll go back to being a villain.
If it just goes back to we talked about this when the Disney Plus was happening. The shows mean nothing. And we had hoped they didn't. Like when this starts happening.
Not all of them. Loki has.
I mean, if we want to get really deep and philosophical here, none of this means anything.
Well, that's true. That's
none
fair.
Of this.
That's very, very true. We're all like 30.
Scissor me, daddy.
Scissor me, daddy ass.
All right.
Deuces.
Wow. He just gave no outro. nothing.
Hey, Minty.
No Menti do that thing.
Can you
thing.
Do
just
that
deuces.
Thing?
And he's gone. He left. That's the end of it. Maurer's off. Maurer's not on this show for the rest of the issue now. He's just tapped out. You can find the show Welcome to Fireside everywhere online. That's Welcome to Fireside, your social media choice, unless it's Twitter, which is Fireside Crew. And if you like the show, comment how whether or not you believed Maurer was actually going to like Werewolf by Night. That's what I want to. I want to hear whether or not everybody thought that, because I feel like across the board we all knew he was going to like it.
Yeah. That's the true poll. Yeah,
I feel like that's the case. But anyway, once again, I'm Menti. That's Maurer.
And I'm Oshko.
And I'm Features.
Baby Huey can't talk.
What's going on? Excelsior. We'll be right back.